Oh wow, Netflix redid their homepage.
Why aren't we starting?
Okay, we're starting right now.
Yeah, no.
Because
there's one set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is Jimmy Geek.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is Jimmy Geek.
And welcome back to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host, John, and with me on the phone, we have a small cast this week, which seems to be the theme lately for podcasts I'm on.
Don't make fun of Lee's height.
I knew somebody was going to say it. Ron!
That, of course, is Lee.
I'm saying don't do it.
That, of course, is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I'm short, I'm fat, and I'm blue. You can't want me. You don't get it, but it's okay. Ron does. I'm good. How are you?
Hi.
Why are you? Wait, well, huh? What?
Hi.
I'm confused. Also, as you've already heard, is the lawyer in residence, Ron. How you doing?
I'm confused.
Yeah, actually, in fact, your little icon has a little question mark on it. So above some shoulders. And snickering in the background. The one, the only, Serve. How you doing, Serve?
I'm good. The Serve.
The Serve.
Actually, I find it interesting. There are three guys on the podcast. And from what I can tell, it is a dark room in Skype.
Mine's dark. My room's dark.
And I don't want to know about the cucumbers, do I?
Is it smoke-filled?
Vapor-filled.
No, of course not.
Nice. Nice.
It's allegedly better for you. I don't know.
Where are you calling us from tonight?
The Fortress of Solitude.
Okay.
The Fortress of Servitude.
Oh, okay. Just wondering, because I was wondering if that place ever saw any you there ever.
Yeah, on occasion. A couple days a week.
I was thinking if you had a hamster, by now it would be dead.
Oh,
well,
I
had a hamster, and he is dead. But then
hamster.
I got fish, and then they died.
No.
And it's a whole, you know.
No, we don't want to think about Serve having a hamster.
The band
then I got
fish
a house
died.
Plant, and it died.
Did it die, or did it get burned up?
It might have gotten pruned.
Anyway, moving right along. Kids, stay in school. Don't do drugs. So what are we going to talk about tonight? I don't know. Serve's the one who wanted to call this together.
Movies.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about movies. Quick heads up. Before we get started, this is supposedly issue 99.
Supposed to be, but it'd be 98. I don't know.
It could also be more than that because we don't count any of the 40 Days of Dragon Con episodes in our numbering. We don't count any of the book reviews in our accounting. So, you know, it's any number of things.
What are those,
so
like,
basically, if I'm on it, you don't count it?
No, this one counts. This is 99.
Oh, okay.
No.
So those other ones are like annuals and giant size. They don't really fit.
Yeah, they're like, what do you call those? Trade paperbacks.
Special editions?
Trade paperbacks?
Yes, they're trade paperbacks.
They're the crap paperbacks of the world.
So, so the next official Unique Geek will be the official Unique Geek Prime, I suppose.
Centurion, wouldn't it be?
100.
Be the Centurion.
It was, well, yeah. The podcast, though, is the Prime podcast, right? Anyway.
But then we renumber them, right? And
then
start
we,
over.
Then we renumber them and we start over like DC. They're all 17-year-old ninjas.
Them 18 so we don't go.
I did have
30.
A point.
Even the women are 17-year-old men.
I did have a point here at some point, and I'm going to point it out right now. The next podcast you hear after this one will be a Doctor Who special edition podcast. That is not issue 100. We'll just put that out there right now. Issue 100 will occur after that. We're not doing anything really special for issue 100, but you know, there you go.
Way to not build up anticipation.
See, I think 100 should be, we should try and get as many people on it as we can. People from the past, people from present. If we can get them, people from the future.
Don't you want to do it? You know, like a live podcast for the 100th and video and all that, John?
Yeah. Not for
it'd
this.
Be like, it could be like the Jerry Lewis telethon.
What do you say? We just do a marathon show until everyone passes out.
Shit, we've done that before, John.
Yes, we have. Ron wanted to make money off this?
Well, you said it was a Jerry Lewis thing, so.
He's not doing the.
He is. He's not doing the MD telethon this year.
So who's taking him over? Taking over it?
I don't know. I think they're going to do a slew of people. But before, do you know how old he is?
Lee?
Without looking, without cheating.
Lee, how old
he's
is
almost
he?
He's in his 90s, isn't he?
So he's
almost 90. He's like, I think he's like 85.
Slightly younger than Lee, then.
Okay, so got a height joke and got an age joke.
Mm-hmm. This is from the guy who's turning 40 this year.
I will see you in 80 days, and that's one punch right there.
Ooh, it is 80, isn't it?
Yes, it is, as of today.
80 days, by the way, till DragonCon as of the recording of this podcast, which means DragonCon...
4 days from the time this is posted, it's DragonCon.
Oh, that also brings me up Lee. Lee and I will begin our 40 days, I guess, of DragonCon 40 days from now. You know, I was thinking about making it 50 days this year.
Okay.
I'll see your 50 and raise you 70.
Let's just make it 80. Let's start today. so we'll be starting our 40 days of DragonCon, or 50 days, whatever. Something like that.
129 days of DragonCon.
365 days of DragonCon.
364 days of DragonCon.
Well, wait. The DragonCon is what? Four days. Depending on your...
4 days.
So we'll do 361 days of DragonCon.
That would be what all us directors do. What's your point?
And so we'll be getting those podcasts out starting in a couple of weeks, I suppose. So there's that. Everyone's got their rooms, right? Lee, of course, you have your room.
Yep.
I have my room.
Ron went ahead and Ron and Serv went ahead and got rooms behind my back and got them in core hotels. I'm stuck over at the Westin.
Do anything behind your back, dude. We're on the phones on October 1st.
That's all right. No, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm not.
No, don't worry about it. It's okay.
Okay.
He's not at all. He doesn't sound worried at all.
You know, just whatever.
Well, I'm worried. I'm not really worried about it now. No, wait. Nope.
Still not. I thought you guys all roomed together.
Well, in the past couple of years, since Dr. Jen goes to Dragon Con, I've told these assholes, screw you. No. Last year, John and I and Dr. Jen were in a room together.
Well, see, John, hold if you on. Play your cards right, you can do that again.
Oh, I don't have that sound effect here.
That wasn't fine.
But this year, I'm going to let Bob stay in the room.
Because he's tired of all the snoring.
Because Bob was on the phone with me on the day that the hotels opened up for 4.5 hours, and neither of us got a room. One of Dr. Jen's friends got a room and got us in it. So...
You know, I know that DragonCon has really no control over the hotel room situation.
That is correct.
But dear God, they've really got to do something about that. That's just ridiculous. And we've in years past, you've been able to, you know, book your room before you left. They didn't allow that anymore whatever reason. Because they wanted to jam up all their phone lines.
To push that to the hotels to say that that would be a very nice thing to do.
Again.
As many people as DC brings in, it's... I mean, they got to open up more rooms in the Marriott, I would think, at con rate. I mean, this year, there is a college football game that weekend.
Unfortunately.
There always will be, though, apparently.
Probably.
For the rest of our lives.
But, I don't see, you say unfortunately, but I'm not a subscriber to that. And it's not because I am a big college football fan. It's because it is such a great thing to go to the Marriott and go up in that elevated bar right above the level with Velocity. There's a bar right outside.
Skybar, yep.
Yeah, Skybar. So you go up on the Skybar and you get a couple drinks and you just watch. You start people watching. First of all, Dragon Con's great for people watching. But when you add in the fact that there's two sets of college football fans trying to wander through Dragon Con, that's priceless. And this year it's going to be even better because it's going to be people from Boise, Idaho. I mean, they are just going to be absolutely shit-faced, blown away.
Now,
well, it can be okay, and I like the people watch too, but sometimes those fans can be a little... It's kind of Revenge of the Nerds, and they're not very nice.
Didn't we have an incident with them last year?
Yes, we had many incidents last year. Yeah.
Who was last year? Last year was LSU in North Carolina, right?
Well, that probably explains it right there.
Yeah.
LSU fans are a little bit...
And then the year before that was... Virginia Tech
and Alabama?
Are you guys talking about sports?
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
We can talk about Doctor Who in a minute and then bother John.
No. Well, I haven't seen the mid-season finale yet, so we can't really...
Mid-season finale.
Well, anyway, so you guys can talk about that on the next podcast, which is a Doctor Who-only spoilerific podcast, so you've been warned accordingly. Anyway, let's get to what has recently happened. Anybody read anything on the DC reboot?
Yeah, I read they're doing a reboot.
Does anybody care? You know, it's like
everybody, or which ones is it going to be? I haven't seen it. I've not seen that article. Sorry.
Well, the idea is that supposedly, Jim Lee's in charge over there, right? Or at least he's.
Yeah, he's taking over or something. He's going to be lead, I don't know.
Story guy or whatever?
Yeah, I guess.
Which is why I keep saying they're all going to be ninjas.
That's racist.
Well, if you've ever seen any of the stuff he's done, it's all, they're all, you know. Whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
So, DC reboot.
DC reboot.
Crickets.
It seems like it's their last attempt last gasp. I don't know. I kind of like the ideas of what they're doing. They're bringing everyone back to basically their origins, which is nice. They're calling out some of the extra characters, but what gets me about this, about all of this, is that how many times do we have to go through this process?
Right, wasn't that Crisis? And then they brought everybody back over time. It's like they culled everything down, and then it started, you know, people would start showing up again, and then they completely reversed course on that. Now they're doing it a third time, from what I understand. And I'm probably way the fuck off, but from someone who doesn't read comics and is kind of involved in the, you know, the geek realm, that's what it looks like. It looks like they're just, you know, every 5 or 6 years they're going to do a restart.
Well, I get it if you're trying to bring in new people, but the problem is that there just isn't anybody that wants to read comics anymore. The upside of this, though, there is one tech-related thing here, is that DC will release the actual comic to iPads, to, you know, in a digital form, the day of it hits the comic book store too, so I'm sure comic book store owners are just loving that.
Wait, they sell comic books in stores?
Yes, that's where they sell them sometimes.
Huh. Sometimes.
And these stores hold books, and they're made of paper. Yes, flabbergast, everyone. So no one really cares, DC reboot. All right, so let's go back a couple of movies that have come out since the last time we talked about movies. Thor, who here has seen it? Raise hands.
I have.
Yay!
Kat Dennings turns 25 today.
Who?
We like her. Kat Dennings, she was Darcy in Thor. See, it's topical.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, do you like her?
Yeah. Like her. We like her.
Are you dating her?
She's kind of adorable.
Is she? Yeah.
Would
she in your top five?
I don't know what top five.
He doesn't need a top five because he's not married.
Rub it in. Rub it in.
Well, that's
not,
what she
not
said.
Not the lotion. I mean, yeah, it's not everything.
It rubs the lotion. Anyway. All right, Lee, what is your impressions of Thor? Not actual impressions as in, hey, as soon as I asked her a question, she disappeared. Okay, so Serv, your impressions of Thor.
I thought Thor was fun. I enjoyed Thor. I thought, you know, when he first gets to Earth and, you know, he's kind of getting his feet under him, he doesn't seem quite as big as I thought the guy that should play him should have been. But, I mean, he pulls off the role really well. And I love the way that he first gets to his hammer. And then, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's another Avenger who has the lamest intro ever.
You think it was lame? I thought that was actually fairly good.
Yeah, it was subtle.
Well, it was subtle if you aren't aware what this guy is. Like, if you're aware in the comics, it's like, why are you such a douchebag and picking a bow and arrow over a rifle or...
Well, so there you go.
Are we talking about the guy, whoever his name was, in Thor?
Hawkeye, yeah.
Yeah.
Hawkeye,
actually,
sorry.
It's funny, Lee, as soon as I asked you what you thought of Thor, you disappeared.
I did disappear. It was very odd. I liked Thor. I have a very weird thing for summer movies, which is just be enjoyable for an hour and a half or 2 hours. It doesn't have to make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't have to be really deep and meaningful. No, I'll do that later. Summer movies are just for, you know, fun, stupid family time, and Thor was good for that. And Chris Hemsworth was pretty, and he was shirtless part of the time, so I was perfectly fine with Thor.
And he's an Aussie, right? He's an Australian?
He's Australian, yep.
I think that's why Dr. Jen liked him so much.
I was perfectly fine with Thor, yes.
So,
deep and meaningful, no. Well written, not really. Fun, yeah, that's fine.
What about you, Ron?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it achieved pretty much what it wanted to do. Some of the fight scenes could have been longer, but I thought the acting from the characters was fine. And Natalie Portman's character was kind of shoehorned in there, and she didn't really have really much to really work with and do. I don't know in what stage they put in Kat Dennings' character, Darcy, but maybe they were like, okay, we're just not getting enough personality out of Natalie Portman, so we need to have an amusing character to, you know, kind of fill that up a little bit. Overall good. I mean, the guy who played Loki, it was good. So
I thought actually the guy who played Loki was very, very good. I did like him probably the most as a character out of any of them.
You know, the biggest issue with Thor, of course, with any character like Thor, is he is a god, so...
Interdimensional space alien.
So he's a Highlander, is what you're saying.
There can be only one.
Except, unfortunately, there are more than one movie.
And then they did the second one and completely fucked it up.
Well, I mean, Thor does what it was meant to do, which is, so when we see this guy in Avengers, we're not surprised.
Well,
is that not the only reason we made Thor?
I think it is, yeah.
And it achieved its goal of not effing it up, of not effing up Avengers. So, you know, it was good enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now.
So, yeah, we like Thor overall. We'll all go see it. Now, I'll own it on DVD.
What do you think about having Loki as the big bad for Avengers?
It works. I mean, he's got the kind of a mystical thingy going on. He can work with other stuff, so he's kind of behind the scenes, twisting things up. Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, all right. So next movie. Actually, let me ask, this isn't necessarily geek-related, that deeply geek-related, but has anybody seen Hangover 2?
Not yet.
No, but I want to.
No, so no one's seen it. Interesting.
Have you?
I actually finally saw Hangover 1 this weekend. So.
Really? And what'd you? Well, yeah. Let me ask you, what were your impressions of Hangover 1?
I actually didn't think it was that great as, until the end the when they were showing 2, the apparently. Pictures.
Yeah, that right. that completely finishes the movie.
But I'm not a guy, so I didn't find the Hangover that... I thought parts of it were funny, but overall I was like, okay, why did everybody say this was the funniest movie ever? I'm not really sure about that.
I saw Bridesmaids. That was funny.
I've heard really good things about Bridesmaids.
And it had Roy from the IT Crowd in it. And so with a lot bigger role than I thought he'd have.
And so there you go. There's your geek related.
And my husband is over here telling me I was laughing very hard at the Hangover. I don't remember that, but okay.
Were you drinking, Lee?
Nope.
Okay, then it must have been while you were asleep.
Am I? That's possible.
Anyway, okay.
Maybe
so
I took a nap.
The next big movie that's come up since the last time we've talked about movies and since our summer movie preview, I guess would have been X-Men First Class.
Oh, yeah.
Am I missing something?
Yay!
Yeah, that was good.
Really? You liked it? Sir,
yeah.
Have you seen
it? Was
it?
Better than Thor, even. I mean, not that Thor was like a high threshold or anything like that, but yeah, it was good. Oh, is it my turn to talk? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Ron.
I feel like I interrupted something.
No. Give me your thoughts.
Oh, no, it was...
Mine are completely different.
It was, I mean, definitely better than the last two or last three X-Men movies.
What?
I'm talking about Wolverine being one of the other X-Men movies. It was... It's just different from the first X-Men movie, but still good in just a different way. I think you really needed those other movies to have this. They couldn't have had this movie first. People were like, what the hell is going on with this thing? But since they had those other movies as gateway movies, I think this was... I mean, some people said that it wasn't just a good comic book film. It was a good film in itself. You know, it was actually had... A good story, great acting. It was very enjoyable. Some people said it was like, you know, an old. They had certain homage to like James Bond things because it was a period piece, and like it was a certain scene. This is not a spoiler. In a submarine, and just the where they're all wearing white in such a way. It's like that is so Roger Moore, but in a good way. And it was definitely very enjoyable. And I've heard some criticisms about it, and I. Find all those criticisms quite invalid.
Okay, we'll get into
mine
in a minute.
Now, I have to disagree with you on one thing, though. I don't know that it was really well written. There were a lot of things they very much glossed over in a lot of ways. And even my 12-year-old said that the ending didn't make any damn sense. Because what? It was too rushed.
Yeah, it almost had like three endings. Serv, have you seen the movie? Serv, are you there? Serv,
he saw it because he talked about it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You're on mute, aren't you?
Yeah, I didn't realize it. I had clicked my mute button. I've seen it, and I think it was good. I mean, the biggest problem I had is, okay, it's a prequel. I know it's a prequel, and I was never at any time... in any fear for any of the major characters. I was like, yeah, Magneto and Xavier, they're going to be fine. I mean, there's nothing that they won't be able to get out of because we already know it because they're, you know, in the later movies. So, and you've seen them do even bigger things in the later movies. So, I mean, you know that they can do this type of stuff. So, there was just no fear for some of the main characters in the film. And every
so like in James Bond movies, you're like, meh. He's going to be fine. He's James Bond.
No, it doesn't have anything
Indiana
to do
Jones,
with that.
He'll be fine. I don't care if he's in a nuclear explosion. He's in a refrigerator. He's fine.
Well, come on. You're going to invoke the nuclear explosion refrigerator argument?
Oh, God. But yeah, see, the other thing... Yeah,
is that
you're
the new
right,
Nazi rule?
Sorry?
I said, is that the new Nazi rule where all arguments eventually boil down to... Indiana Jones being in a refrigerator while a nuclear bomb goes off.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, go ahead, Lee.
I think the thing that, yes, you knew they were all going to be fine. So there wasn't a lot of emotional investment. But again, I go back to what do I like summer movies for?
Mm-hmm.
I got 2 hours of fun. There was eye candy for both the husband and the wife, and there were some in-jokes that were kind of funny, and it was probably the best cameo I will see all summer. So, I thought it was, yeah. And I'm not giving anything away with the cameo. I mean, if you have not seen it, that cameo, I laughed so hard, I thought I was going to pee myself in the theater.
Yeah, 80s band that was in Purple Rain?
Word up,
yeah, that one.
No, yeah, you're right. The cameo is great. First of all, let me just break down the impressions of
break it on down now.
The actors. Emma Frost. Could she have been played by any worse an actress?
I don't understand people's criticisms on that. Holly and I, we both saw it and we're like, okay, people didn't like her. Why? I don't understand that.
Yeah, what was she supposed to do different?
She was very shallow. And she's a very powerful character.
But also set in 1962, so that helps explain some of her subservience to Sebastian Shaw. I think her being cold and off-putting, that was consistent with the character, and especially given that time frame.
No. You know, first of all, I love her in Mad Men. I think she's very... But essentially, she was playing the same character as...
Okay, I don't watch Mad Men, so maybe I don't have that...
Yeah, I don't watch Mad Men either.
So you do serve, though, I take it.
Yes, I do.
So maybe that's what the thing is. Maybe we've seen her in that role, and we're just like, why is she here?
I mean, she certainly hasn't expanded her act as an actress. I mean, she's playing the same role, you know, a woman. This time she has superpowers. She isn't just, you know,
but she's not,
married to a powerful guy.
Is, for me, Emma Frost has to be sexy and seductive, and she was not.
And she wasn't! Seriously?
She wasn't, no.
Hey, wait, why does she have to be that?
Well, no, that's
her character.
Totally agree with that. But did you not see that bustier?
So what?
Just a bustier doesn't make her sexy. That means that she can wear sexy clothes, but it's not the same thing. You're simple, Ron.
Eh.
He hasn't been married. That's what the problem is.
I guess so.
No, I didn't think she was sexy, but no, Lee, just from a character standpoint, Emma Frost has been historically portrayed as someone who will use her sexuality to manipulate people, besides the fact that she can manipulate your mind. But, you know,
well, she did that in the movie.
Well, she did. This is true in the most boring way possible. She did, yes. She just to me, it was just like, the problem was, as I was seeing her character from Mad Men, I guess it must be what the thing is here, is that she just seemed
like... sat on the couch and she Betty Drapered.
Exactly.
Did her nails.
Exactly.
But no, that actually made it better. I mean, without giving any spoilers,
I thought that was actually...
Yeah, that worked well.
Yeah. But again, don't watch Mad Men and not a comic fan, so therefore...
All right, well... So then the rest of the movie, as far as the rest of the movie is concerned, they made Angel a chick, which annoys me. And
They had a character with the same freaking name. That's
I know.
It.
That's what everyone keeps saying.
They could have just called her Dragonfly, because, you know, fireball thing. And,
That's
a totally...
I understand
lame.
That. I understand what you're saying, but you're wrong. And I thought the kids... weren't all that great as actors either. In fact, I thought the movie was okay for what it was. It was fine. I thought that the actor that played Xavier and Magneto, both those guys were fantastic and they were spot on. And I thought that by far, Kevin Bacon steals the entire film.
Kevin Bacon stole the entire film. And John, again, do you get... I mean, I actually would not say that it was well acted. I would disagree. But
you mean Magneto?
I don't know that...
I'm sorry, what was that Magneto got a hold of you?
The Magneto guy, he was awesome.
He really was.
He was.
Agree.
I don't disagree
with that. I thought Magneto and the person playing Xavier were very good. I did. And I thought Kevin Bacon was freaking awesome.
I don't know. I thought the guy that played Xavier was...
I can't remember who the hell they were.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought Mystique was lame, although I did like that cameo as well.
I thought the Mystique actress, I think she did well. I think Beast did well.
She did as well as she could do. I don't know that I would say she did.
Yeah,
well.
I've never understood
anything.
Yeah, I've never understood Mystique's power. I mean, I understand what it is, but I've never understood how it could possibly be.
Well, she's more of a spy type person.
Right.
And in the other X-Men movies, they made her, you know, a lot of the martial artist stuff. And so that, you know, is how they worked that.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, she's, but anyway, I just thought that
the kids, they didn't have much to work with because, yeah, there were a whole lot of characters in it. And some people complain, some people know Richard that was going to boycott the movie because there were too many characters. It's like, it's a character, it's a team movie. It's like saying, the Dirty Dozen, that's just too many characters. They should have just had like six. Well, that way they could focus more on the characters. No, that's like the whole point.
Okay, you want to go that route? Each character in the Dirty Dozen was their own individual character, and they fleshed them out. Even if it was, you know, even for a few seconds, they were fleshed out. All the kids, to me, just were like this big huddled mess, and they kind of sped through this whole training thing, and never really kind of. You could have done the same movie with just Magneto, Xavier, and I'll even give you Mystique. You could have done the same exact movie. There was no purpose for
anything. You probably could have, and it probably would have, maybe Beast. I would agree.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I think the other thing, and actually I've read two pretty decent blog write-ups on this of people who had problems with the movie, and the one person who said, it kind of misses the whole, this is 1962, kind of misses that there are a whole lot of other things going on than the Cuban Missile Crisis, valid argument that it's like, being a mutant's the worst thing that can be going on in 1962? Yeah, not really. And then it also, some of the other things, I do find it interesting. And again, I don't know if I've made my peace with it. I have accepted that until I run a comic thing, it's not going to change. But I did find it very interesting that, you know, Mystique runs around basically naked. Emma Frost runs around in a mini skirt. Even the female FBI agent, we get to see her half naked.
Oh yeah, we did.
Didn't really get to see that for any of the men.
I'm sorry.
Part of the comic culture there, and that's very. I even said it on the other podcast, which is, you know, if that's really, you know, you're going from there, but it is a little. I've gotten to the point now that I'm thinking about it a little more. I'm like, I get why that's irritating. I do. And because I also, again, taking it also with the historical perspective that really we were fighting mutants in 62, not so much.
You do realize that mutants aren't real, right? You know, that's.
I do understand that.
Yeah,
I do.
You get that? It's okay.
Right, well.
I am actually a mutant too because I can curl my tongue. But.
However, given the context of the movie, where they tried to frame it into a historical context, I can totally get where it really is coming from. They tried to frame it into a historical context, so it kind of takes that. You
stretched
know, takes
every that. Bit of I can suspend of suspended disbelief. Mm-hmm. Yeah, going with that.
Well,
was just waiting for Forrest Gump to show up.
I was waiting on Casper to storm the beach and be pissed off with his cigar. I mean, I kept waiting on something like that because at this point, I'm like, what? Who else are you gonna throw in here?
Oh, the Watcher. You can make the Watcher show up. Hey, all right. So let me ask you then, Ron. You said it was better than the last three X-Men movies. That would put it X-Men 2, wouldn't
better
it?
Better than 2? Uh-uh.
Okay, X-Men 2 was very good. In many ways, X-Men 2 was
better than
X-Men 1 in some ways.
I can't remember. Did X-Men 2 actually set up the Magneto in a concentration camp thing, didn't it?
No, that was the very first movie.
Was that in the first one?
That was the first one.
Yep.
I can
well,
remember.
That's... Yeah. That's another thing about this movie is the very most early origins, as I understand it, of this movie started off as X-Men Origins Magneto.
Yeah.
So this was supposed to be a Magneto movie, and that's why you see, and he's so prominent throughout the film.
It's interesting. I thought that they were still making a Magneto.
I didn't
X-Men.
Know that.
No, no. Yeah. I mean, what else are you going to tell now?
What else? There isn't much more you can tell me about Magneto now. I mean, unless you can explain how he got all his great fighting powers. I mean, honestly.
Or if you want to introduce
him, kind of James Bond.
His children, if you want to introduce Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver or something like that, but most people don't know who they are, so.
Like I said earlier, and it was probably stomped on, Quicksilver is Forrest Gump. They both run. Anyway. Yeah, I digress. All right, so let me ask you, Ron, what is your favorite comic book movie of all time, then? What was your top three? I'll go over to Lee while you think. Lee.
Oh, God. I think I'm going to get out of the Marvel universe a little bit, which is kind of problematic. But I think the Superman with Christopher Reeve, the first one, I loved. That was kind of my first ever seeing it. I actually enjoyed the first Batman with Michael Keaton. With the Joker and Jack Nicholson. Not that I don't like the Dark Knight reboot, but I actually did enjoy that Batman. Number three? That's tough. I don't know. Probably Iron Man, because I just... that. Just fun as hell.
You know, because I never get in go onto Facebook very. I don't go onto Facebook very often. Let's put it that way. And I did notice that Michael Bailey had said that he thought it was the best X-Men First Class was the best superhero film ever. And so,
how am I not friends with Michael Bailey?
And so then I threw back. Okay, what about Superman 1 and 2? Because I like 2 better than I like 1. But except for the whole Margot Kidder. You know, she's her. Never mind. I'm not going to go into it. Her lowest.
Just make it a Zod movie.
Yes, just make it a Zod movie, please. Which, by the way, is what they're doing. So
that's
there you go.
That's what the new one's supposed to be.
Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, so I threw out Superman 1 and 2, I threw out X-Men 2, and I think I threw out Batman.
Batman Begins or Dark Knight?
Dark Knight Returns. Right? What's it called? What the hell is the one with the, what's his nose? Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger?
I think it's just Dark Knight.
Heath Ledger is the Dark Knight.
Okay. That's
the Dark Knight. And I would say, I think the reboot has been very good. It is different for me. Those would be movies I would say it's less about being a comic book character and more of being a character study. I'm looking at things that are really, to me, much more comic bookish, which is why I probably picked the ones I did, but yeah.
Okay, Ron, you had some time to think about it. What are your top three?
Probably Iron Man. It's going to be up there. From a comic book perspective, actually, I really enjoyed Watchmen. Batman, the reboot's been pretty good. Yeah, X-Men 2 is good. Yeah. I'm probably just forgetting a lot of stuff, but
Well, you forgot Daredevil, of course.
The director's version actually isn't that bad.
Nor is the director's version of Hellboy, actually.
I liked Hellboy all on its own, so.
Yeah, Hellboy is actually... I like Hellboy. And you don't realize how different a movie that is when it is cut for TV versus cut, like, not cut on DVD. Very different movie.
What about you, Serv?
I would say it's difficult to put them in 1, 2, 3 order, but I definitely have a top three. Top three would be Dark Knight, Batman Begins, and Iron Man. I think those three are the best that I've seen. You know, I haven't seen every one of them.
You chose back Oh, you said Dark Knight first. Okay.
The two Batman.
Yeah, okay.
The two new Batman and Iron Man. I didn't like Iron Man 2 as much. I don't think anyone did. But, you know, the old Christopher Reeve, like Superman 2, I like that one, but it's not top three. I like Daredevil also. I like the director's cut of Daredevil. I think that's good. It's not top 10, but it's good. I mean, I haven't seen the Blade movies.
Oh, actually, the first Blade movie is actually really good.
Yeah, I've heard Blade's pretty good, but I haven't seen those, and I haven't seen all of Elektra. I've seen just enough to know it can't good.
No, no. Just like you haven't seen all of Catwoman with Halle Berry,
or the Punisher. I saw the Punisher that was filmed in Tampa, but I never saw the Punisher War Journal.
You know, if they would have taken both of those movies and smashed them together, there were elements of the Punisher that was shot in Tampa, which was the one with Thomas Jane, and the elements, and there were elements from Warzone that were really good. But that's the problem. I don't understand why the Punisher is so hard to do.
No kidding. Of all the Marvel comics, he's got to be the easiest guy to get.
His family gets killed. He turns into a vigilante. Done.
And
What's the problem?
He goes out killing the mob. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a goddamn comic book movie. This is just a vigilante movie. Well, this is fucking Taxi Driver for 2011.
I think Ron and I have had this discussion before, where Man on Fire with starring Denzel Washington is probably the best Punisher movie ever made.
That was maybe had it with Duncan or something.
It probably had it with Duncan then. Yeah. Because, you know, it really is all the elements of what the Punisher is supposed to be. But I don't know. I don't get that. I don't get this. Why they can't make a decent Punisher movie. All right, so moving on.
Isn't today Duncan's birthday?
Yes, today is Duncan's birthday. Happy birthday, Duncan.
Happy birthday, Duncan.
Happy birthday, Duncan.
So now I can't release this for a year.
Happy next birthday, Duncan.
Let's see. Last on the big hit list here, we have Super 8. I think I may be the only one who has seen this film here.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
You're correct.
I'm going to go this week.
So I went and saw it this past weekend with my wife. I'm not going to give any spoilers away. I really, really, really enjoyed the film. I thought it was very well done. My wife, on the other hand, thought it was a waste of time.
But she doesn't like sci-fi, right?
No,
I mean, she's not a sci-fi fan.
No, she does. She likes sci-fi.
Oh, really?
She likes sci-fi. We'll watch Firefly together. We'll watch... And it's not just because of the tight pants, because she's not into that kind of thing.
You watching new episodes of...
I'm watching all the new episodes of Firefly.
Firefly tells you that, and you believe her?
I hate the Science Channel. I really do. Because they're like, hey, up next, the season finale of Firefly. I'm like, why can't you just admit to the people here there will be no more Firefly after this?
No Firefly. Now, I want to go back to this fact that you
can't give up hope.
It's not about Captain Taipan.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. It's about the whole thing. She likes Wash. She likes, you know, the whole nine yards. It's really really well done. No, she does. She likes sci-fi, but I think that, you know, the argument that I make about that film is it's not about the alien.
In Super 8?
In Super 8. She was like, well, I didn't know if I should like the alien or hate the alien or whatever. I'm not going to get too much into that whole thing. It's pretty obvious. But my argument is it's like a classic Spielberg film. And I mean, it is literally down to the lighting and the camera flares and the whole nine yards. A Steven Spielberg homage, if you will. Almost annoyingly so. But it is like other classic Spielberg films. It's about the kids. It's about the stories of the people around it, not necessarily the big bad or whatever. Indiana Jones isn't exciting because of the Nazis. Indiana Jones is exciting because of the character, of the story of what's happening with him, right?
Well, I think what you said is very, that's what I'm going into this movie about. If I go, E.T. is about E.T., but it's really about relationships.
It's
again,
about,
it's really about
Elliot
characters.
And serves love and, you know, the whole nine yards.
True.
But I mean, it's about Drew Barrymore. I mean, it's about the characters, and it's that kind of a movie. I'm the same thing with Close Encounters and almost any other movie that I can think of. Hell, even Jaws is not really about the shark.
Shark in Jaws? I missed that somehow.
Spoiler alert.
We get to see it at the end. But yeah. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Everything I've seen has made me want to see it more. There is nothing that I don't want to see about it.
No. Yeah, don't go in with your expectations too high, because I'm going to be disappointed. But J.J. Abrams does such a brilliant job. It's funny, though, too, is... JJ, I hate you, and I love you all at the same time.
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship.
One of the
what I used to have with Chris Carter.
Listen to the alien.
Mm-hmm.
It's no surprise that there's an alien, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise, spoiler alert. Or the monster, or whatever it is. You know, it's whatever the thing is. The sound effect. You can hear the freaking smoke monster in the damn sound effect.
No.
And it drives me nuts every time. I'm like, there's elements of that, of the lost smoke monster in the sound effect for certain items. So.
Well, the other question for you is.
And besides, by the time this gets posted, it'll be out on DVD anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, probably. So the question for you is, regular screen, IMAX screen?
Regular screen.
It's not 3D, but it is on IMAX and it is on regular screen.
I saw it in DLP. I saw it in digital projection. It was fine.
But regular screen?
Yeah, regular screen's fine. IMAX doesn't really give you anything. Because, again, it's about the kids. It's a story about, you know, it's very... Spielberg didn't do Goonies, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Okay.
I got those
79.
You know, in 79, there was a lot more going on than an alien, you know, wrecked in a thing. There was,
funny.
Like, you know, the Iranian
hostage
crisis.
There was a lot
crisis.
More going on.
Did they talk
have,
about that at all?
No, we'll have this. I will bring out my history minor right now, sir.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Do not. I will poke you in 80 days, too.
No,
you know, I didn't say any of that. That was Ron, not me.
I know it was Ron. Okay. I said sir, not sir.
Oh, I thought you said sir.
I said sir. Very funny.
Well, J.J. Abrams did some other movies, right?
Yeah, he's done a couple now.
Star Trek.
Yeah.
Cloverfield.
He did that movie Cloverfield.
Yes.
Isn't that a movie about a monster?
It might be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Cloverfield, again.
But that actually focuses on the...
Spoiler alert.
My spoiler, it's been out, 3 years? But think about what JJ's produced.
Put it all together there.
I've never been able to sit through all of Cloverfield, to be honest with you.
Well,
I have to watch
then
it.
Then you've seen
otherwise
the monster.
It makes me nauseous. Otherwise, it makes me nauseous. But think about it. JJ has always directed or produced character bits. Lost. Go back another one. Alias. Go back one more. Felicity. I mean, those are all character bits.
True. It's true. And
Felicity was not about the alien.
No, Felicity was totally about the hair, but they tried to get away from that.
In the oddly, that's where they got the first sound effect for the smoke monster. When she would wash her hair. It would go brush against a door and it made that sound. Anyway, that was horrible. Yeah, so Super 8, I highly recommend it. I think it's a very good film. And what is it? On Rotten Tomatoes, it's got like an 88 rating right now. So, and the people that haven't liked it, weirdly, the people that haven't liked it have said it's too much Spielberg, really. Which,
okay,
I mean,
but
I guess
you know what?
People out there that don't like Spielberg, I'm confused.
Then why would you go to this movie? My other issue here, though, somebody else said this, is that our dear friend Widge said, you know, somebody needs to make movies because poor Spielberg can't anymore. Here's the thing. Spielberg's grown up. He's gotten old. He has many other things on his mind. And the issue is, in 20 years, we're going to say the same thing about J.J. Abrams. We are. We're going to say in 20 years, God, you remember when J.J. used to make good movies? So I...
Yeah, but then he totally screwed Lost over, so, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, don't talk to me about people screwing things over. I was a fan of The X-Files. Chris Carter can bite my shiny metal ass still today.
That was just about money, though.
Well,
they had an end
date. Can we talk about money for a minute?
Sure. No, let's don't. Yes.
How much money did they... How big of a money truck did they back up to Hugh Jackman's house for the Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie?
Oh my God. You know, I leaned because that was a trailer in front of Super 8.
Yes. And even what was the one in front of, what was it? Whatever I just saw.
Yeah.
X-Men First Class. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even call it Rock'em Sock'em Robots, which is the greatest thing in the world.
It should have. I didn't realize it was Rock'em. I didn't. Is it supposedly made on Rock'em Sock'em? I was making a joke.
No,
I did not know that. Is that really supposed to be Rock'em Sock'em?
As I understand it, this is the culmination of someone buying the rights to Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Oh, my God.
That's what I've heard, too.
As I understand it, and which can probably
clarify that. Oh, my God, I didn't realize that.
But,
so how much money? How big of a money truck did they say to Hugh? Here you go.
I don't know.
How many zeros you got to have?
It's just Rocky for 2030 or whatever you want to call it. Rocky Bots.
It actually, you know, I really didn't.
No.
I really thought it didn't look too bad, to be honest with you.
I agree.
Oh, my God. John, I have lost all respect for
you. To be honest with you, I thought, and I was mixed on X-Men First Class.
I'm about to say, dude, seriously, I never had respect for Serb, so I'm all right with this, but I have now lost all respect for you.
Really? For what it is. I mean, it looks fine.
Oh, no. It's Rock'em Sock'em Robots, dudes. No.
What's wrong? I mean, I used to watch the robot battle show on, I forget what channel. Was it on Sci-Fi?
It was on Comedy Central, I think. Oh,
Comedy Central?
Maybe
it's
on Sci-Fi.
Okay, if you build a robot and then you program it, I kind of will get that.
Robot Wars.
It's kind of that idea.
No, it's not. It's Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Did you play Rock'em Sock'em Robots as a kid?
I didn't even know that until John said something.
I knew it was Rock'em Sock'em Robots when I saw the thing. I didn't realize they really bought the rights for Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
She didn't understand that it was literally Rock'em Sock'em Robots. She was just making fun of it, not realizing.
Oh, God.
Seriously, I mean.
I'm going to cry.
To take a kid's game and to build a reasonably, you know, okay, it's just it's a father and son story and, you know, a underdog overcoming adversity story, but, you know, it's nothing that hasn't been done 1,000 times in different mediums, but this one's sort of unique. So I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. I like those kind of movies.
I'm looking right now to see if Chutes and Ladders really does have a...
Super Soaker has a movie in development?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
There is a Risk game board game movie coming out soon. Risk, the board game. Ron, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Risk, the board game?
Just wondering.
Japan
there.
Attempts to take Kamchatka.
And the Australians...
How many dice do I get to roll?
With the
I never fucking understood the dice rolls in Risk.
Whoever has Australia wins automatically, right?
No.
That's how it works.
No.
Yeah, no. Everyone just... You keep building your army on Australia and then eventually take over the rest of the world.
In Risk, if you have Australia, do you win? In Risk? Yeah, no, my husband says you're wrong.
No.
He plays Risk all the time.
Eventually you will, yes, you will. He is wrong. You can't, because you can't
He just loses a lot in Risk.
You can't.
That's how you do it.
You can't. He plays lots of Risk, but he never wins.
He wins all the time.
Because you can't hold Asia. You can't hold Europe.
But if you have Australia, there's only one way in and one way out.
Exactly.
And you can just continue to build and build and build, and no one can ever get in.
But you only have one big island.
You can continue to move out. You can continue to push.
Whatever. Okay.
It's, you don't have a flank.
Exactly. What Stratego Master Serve said.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Did you know they redid Stratego, and now it's, you know, when we were kids, it was always the lower number one.
What do you mean the lower number one?
Like a
one beat a two.
Oh,
yeah, one beat a two. Yeah, but now it's.
But now they've reversed.
They've reversed it. Yeah, the major or whoever is now a 10.
Hmm.
And the scouts are all ones, or they're twos. I forget. Twos. I don't think there is a one. I think the one is supposed to be the spy. Which is just an S. But yeah. I play Stratego with my kids, and I was like, no, he's, wait, oh, it's backwards now. Actually, it makes more sense now. I don't know why anybody thought the lower number should win.
Anyway, you're such a good dad, John.
I am. I just bought Munchkin, too.
Munchkin's awesome.
Figure out how to play it, because Shag and I own Super Munchkin. I don't know. We own one of the Munchkins, and we still don't know how to play it.
There are no rules to Munchkin, first of all. Second of all, John, I actually asked this. So the cards that I was telling you to take out because maybe they would be too risque for your kids, that's actually how you can figure out how old your kids are, because for a very long time, they won't get them. They won't get the risque cards at all. It just goes straight over their little heads. And then all of a sudden, there's like the Horn of Plenty. Horny helmet. And all of a sudden, they go, and they start giggling. And that's when you go, okay, got to have that talk again. So is a way to know when you got to have the talk again.
I've been playing Shea Geek with them to try and determine how old they are.
I don't know that.
It with pot brownies and... acid and
significant and sleepovers and
nookie.
Right, sleepover nookie. What's nookie? It's a game.
It's a game mommy and daddy like to play often. Anyway, well, I guess I should probably wrap it up at this point. Keeps us right at our 1 hour mark. Let's go around the horn and anybody have anything that they want to bring up before we completely get out of here?
I am looking forward to Cowboys versus Aliens and not Transformers.
Okay.
I want to see if history holds me out on this. So I'm curious. And I have hope for Green Lantern, and I'm the only person in the world that does.
No, I'm actually looking forward to it.
I'm probably going to. Although I did say I was boycotting X-Men First Class, and I still wound up going anyway.
And you lied.
Because there was too many characters in it?
No. I was going to boycott it because I just didn't get a good vibe from it. I just thought it was... I don't know. I just didn't have any good feelings towards it. And in the end, I'm glad I went. It was actually the result of my friend coming over and on Friday night at my work. He was getting ready to leave, and he's a single dad, and he didn't have the kid that week, and he was saying, oh, I'm gonna go home now, it's lonely, I guess I'll go see X-Men by myself, whole nine yards.
Much.
So finally I said, all right, fine, I'll go. So anyway, yeah, but I don't know, Green Lantern I'm still kind of in the up in the air on. It's just, I get that we're at a point in our where we can actually do a lot of the CG stuff, but it just seems like the CG stuff looks way overdone in that film for me, my tastes. But anyway, that's just me. But Lee's looking forward to it, so that's all that matters. And she just wants to see.
No, that's not all that matters. I just hope. I have hope.
She just wants to see a shirtless Ryan Reynolds. That's all. Really? Just an for Ryan Reynolds?
I'm trying to be good.
Sounds like John's a little more excited about it than Lee is.
You know, I really wish. You know, the thing about that is, I really wish he would have made the stupid Deadpool movie first.
Yeah,
because he is such Deadpool. I mean, he is perfect for Deadpool. But anyway, Serb, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think you and I need to meet up this week and go see Hangover 2.
That sounds like a good idea. That sounds like a very good idea.
Want to do Friday night?
Friday night.
Friday night, I have plans.
Well, you all have my phone number, so after you go see it and you do bad things, just call me up and I'll bail you out.
What? Anyway, Ron.
I need someone to tell me how to, after I reloaded Windows, how to actually connect to the internet, because it's not working on my other computer.
Ed, unique geek, where art thou?
Yeah. You've got tech support right there in, you've got EdTech, or tech, what's it called?
Yeah, I guess I need EdTech. I also was hoping you'd be on tonight.
Yeah.
Well, he was supposed to be, and then he bailed at the last minute.
So, much like our other friends, but oh well, whatever. Where's Carrie? Carrie never responded.
Not that we're naming names or anything. Shag.
By the way, you can catch Carrie over at his iPad and Gravy website doing reviews. It's not his website, but he's doing reviews over there.
He actually gets paid for those too.
Yeah, it's actually very entertaining as well. So there you go, and he gets free stuff. So it works out all around for everyone.
Good for him.
Anyway. And as far as I'm as far as for me, you can catch me on Twitter at you don't want to give out your Twitter handle, do you?
No, it's fine. You can give out my Twitter.
You give it out.
Okay. I'm Lee LEIGHBC on Twitter. I do have it set to private, but I do pretty much approve anybody who asks me to.
And I am John Boutelle, JonBoutelle, at on Twitter. That's right, on Twitter. You can also catch Lee, myself, and on occasion Serve over at Need Coffee's Weekend Justice. Ron, you can catch Turning Tricks down at the corner. Until next time.
I need love.
Wait, what is Serve? What is Serve waiting for? He didn't have final words.
Yeah, he did. He wants to go see a
Hangover 2.
Hangover 2. Oh, that was your final words? Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not disliking Green Lantern. I'll go see it. Make my decision then.
The other thing about Green Lantern is the chick that's playing the female. The chick that's playing the female.
She's only playing a female? Is that the problem? Because I can understand
that. Is that what's bothering you on
that's
that?
That's tricky.
RuPaul was hired, I thought that was a bad idea.
No, the girl from Gossip Girl.
Blake
whatever.
Lively? Yeah. She's from Gossip Girl?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
You know what fucking Gossip Girl is?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I watched the entire first and half of the second season of Gossip Girl. Yes, I do know what Gossip Girl is.
Lord, are you on your period?
I was then,
I was wondering.
She's also in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Oh, even better that you've
what
seen that
the hell?
One too.
Seriously?
Yeah, but she's playing the lead actress, and she's just boring. She can't act
she's
her way out.
Never
of
been anywhere. Not boring.
Anyway, until next time, when I get more of my geek cred taken away. Peace.
I think you lost negative 5.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG, or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter, @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.